Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Welcome to the Southwest, and I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors, and so we're just glad that you're here. If you're online today and joining us, just thank you for taking time to log in and be prepared to join us in worship. And just today, we're going to start talking about living by promises and what those promises are from God and how we live our lives through that. You're going to hear probably some new terminology, and you're going to hear scriptures from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, but it's still all relevant to us even as we live here in the year 2023. And as we do, I just want to start today by telling you that living by the promises of God really requires us to have the courage of faith. Now, why do we have to have courage to live by faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 talks about faith, and it says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for, and it's the assurance about what we do not see." When you can't see something and you have to have confidence in it, I mean, that takes courage. When I tell you that something's going to happen if you do or if you don't do something, and yet you've never experienced it, it takes courage to walk into that. It may be courage over fear, or it just might be courage to have the passion to do it. So that's what we're going to talk about, and how we live our life of faith with the courage to follow God even when we don't know about what is about to happen. Listen to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now, it says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea, towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I want us, as we hear this word today, to understand the encouragement God has for us. I don't know about you, but occasionally, I would never say that I'm dismayed. I have another word for that I probably really can't say in church. Amen? I get angry, I get upset, I get discouraged, all the different things. But yet, there's great things ahead of me. It's even those are some good things that I get upset about. Imagine what happens when it's the bad things that I get upset about. See, he wants to encourage us all the days of our life in everything that we do. And so we're going to hear from the story of Joshua today and over the next several weeks about being encouraged, about how to live by the promises of God, because that's all Joshua literally had, was just the promises. So for us, we have so much more, and we're going to hear about that. Lord, as we hear from you today, Lord, as we worship you, we are going to take you at your word. Father, the promises, Lord, over and over again that you have fulfilled, Lord, I want you to reveal them to us. And Lord, I want you to show us the promises that lay before us so we can take hold of them, and so we can be not prosperous just because we want to be rich, not prosperous because we want to be healthy. Father, we want to be prosperous because we are your daughters and your sons. Lord, that we are your saved. We are your adopted children. we belong to your inheritance and your inheritance belongs to us. Let it be so in the name of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. And so you've heard the passage of Scripture and the idea that we must exercise the courage of faith in order to live by God's promises. And so living by promises, once again, is where I want us to start thinking and living our lives. And now I know that we have all made promises that we couldn't keep, right? Any parents in the room? Yeah, I mean, we do this. And we should not, but we do. And yet, what God promises us, He can do, and He will do. He will follow through. He doesn't make a promise. Just because it hasn't come to fruition yet, just because it hasn't come true yet, just because you haven't lived it out yet or experienced it yet, whatever you want to say, doesn't mean that it's still not there and that it's not active and it's not living. It just means that it's somewhere in the wings waiting to happen. And so Israel and this idea of Joshua leading the people into the promised land, Israel was in the place, the people of Israel were in the place where it was time to inherit the promises that God had for them from the moment that they left, right, Egypt and slavery. Really, from the moment that God spoke to Moses in the burning bush and said, I want you to lead my people to freedom, right? From that very moment is when the promise started. And so this promise of freedom was happening, but it did take, I don't know about you, but I hope I don't have to wait 40 years for a promise that one of you makes me for it to come true, right? Because if you make me a promise today, and it's going to take 40 years to come true, at 93, I'm probably going to miss it. I hope I'm going to miss it because, well, that was just a joke. I don't want to live to 93. I don't know about you. This went on for generations and generations and generations. Matter of fact, there was several generations that passed through the wandering years in the desert. They never got to see the fulfillment of the promise, but yet the promise was still active and alive. Now, that doesn't sound very encouraging to you, but it should be, because maybe your children will see a promise. Maybe your grandchildren will see a promise. God is always active and moving, but here's what happens, and here's where I want to land today. I'll give you the QR code. It worked this morning. It worked last night. I'm just praying that it works again now, because you have so much more in the notes today than really we've had in a while, because I can't give all this to you today in the time that we have allotted. So you can scan that, get the notes. The problem is on promises and how we live out our lives that we have obstacles to seeing those promises. We have obstacles to those promises being fulfilled in our own lives. Now, Matt, you just said that God's promises are true and they will happen. We just might have to wait. Well, God's promises are always true and they will happen, but most of God's promises have conditions. And the conditions are that we follow God in the way that He says to, that we follow in the footsteps of all of our callings, that we follow what He has planned for us and not for someone else. Because the promise of eternal life is for everybody. What's the condition? That we believe upon the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the Son of God. Excuse me, as the Son of God. Eternal life is for everyone, but unfortunately, not everyone holds up to their side of the promise. And so there are conditions, and there are some conditions to this idea of crossing over into the promised land, and for us to live by promises. And the first obstacle that we can have when we start following these promises, or we start looking and we start moving, is the first obstacle for me, and I think for Joshua also, was looking back. Now, you have to understand that looking back, you can't look forward to where God's leading you, right? Macy had in her room for a while and may still have it in there. I don't know. Somebody gave her a little sign that says, girl, stop looking back because you ain't going that way. Right? Do you still have that? Yeah, she still has that. And so, that was true for Joshua also. Just think about Joshua in this moment. Moses, what Moses' calling was not Joshua's calling. And Joshua's calling, even though Moses is now dead, that was not Moses' calling, right? Two leaders going the same direction, but different callings on their life and different moments of life. We are all going in the same directions towards eternity and towards Jesus, but we all have different callings. And we have to live out those and fulfill those for all of the promises to take place. So you've heard me say before, you have to do your part in order for maybe some of my parts to be successful. We have to do it together. And so for Joshua and Moses, they had different callings, but yet God was calling both of them equally importantly. All of us have that. And when we start looking back, like whoever one day somebody, hallelujah, somebody is going to take my place and the church is going to go on. Here's why most pastors leave the church they retire from, okay? Because they don't want the other pastor having to live up to those expectations while, I don't know, I'm just going to say Justin and Linda, they come up to the new pastor and say, hey, that's not the way Matt did it, and, you know, when Matt was here, we looked, you know, and so this is the way, right, Matt did it. See, that's what was happening to Joshua. Can you imagine? I mean, okay, following me is going to be really easy. Matter of fact, maybe a vast improvement. However, Moses, can you imagine following Moses? The guy that talked to God, the guy that God talked to and gave the commandments, the guy that was used by God as the Red Sea parted, was used to bring water out of a rock, was used to pray for food to fall from heaven every day. That's not an act I want to follow. So you know Joshua's sitting there listening to this call from God, and he's going, oh my gosh, and he's turning around and he's looking back. I mean, they literally are on the shore of the Jordan River getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And this is just me and the way I would think about it. Here's the mountain on which Moses died on and where he was supposedly buried, right? Or not buried. There's a great speculation. But there's this mountain. Here's the Jordan River. And here's Joshua going, man, I don't know that, I mean, there's Moses and there's all this, there's 40 years of history. Moses is the only leader they've ever really known outside of the master of Pharaoh, the slave master. I mean, oh my gosh, now me? You can't look back. Because man, if you look back at that, you're never going to move forward. Never, ever. I mean, that'd be like me taking Billy Graham's spot on the world stage. Can y'all just imagine what an epic failure that would be? I mean, like, there's no way I can do that. But yet, it's not about me. And it wasn't about Joshua. And it wasn't about Moses. It was about them and me and you allowing God to move us forward, not backwards, into his promises. Which brings me to the second point of not just looking back, but one of the other obstacles is that we stand still. Because all God said was, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, in other words, every step that you take, every place that you set your foot, I have already given to you, just as I spoke to Moses. It just means that he had to go get it, right? He had to move into it. He wasn't gonna be able to stay on this side of the Jordan, right? Y'all are gonna love this. This is the wilderness over here. Here's the Jordan River. Y'all are already in the promised land. Y'all already knew it. I know it. They're all surprised though. Y'all are the promised, the chosen. Yeah, y'all are just stuck. Sorry. And so, but you can't stay here. Now, if you sit, you're never gonna get to the Jordan. You're never gonna get across the Jordan. You're never gonna get to the promised land. And even once you get in the promised land, you can't just get there, get on the other side of the Jordan and go, hey, we made it, and just stay there. Because that's just geography. That's just a location. God wants more than that. You can't receive what God is giving you, okay? You can't receive the gift that God is giving you, whatever that gift is in the promise, without reaching for it, without stepping for it. Or in this case, without walking on it and claiming those promises in your life. And let me tell you, standing still, sometimes we think that when we stand still, it's just a place of comfort. Think about Peter walking on water. See, when Jesus saw Peter, it's like that he looked out towards the promised land. He looked at the promise of Jesus and what Jesus was calling into. And he said, Lord, if it's you, call me to come to you. And Jesus said, okay, come on. Peter got out of the boat. And as long as he was walking, as long as scripture right here says, don't turn to the left, don't to the right, don't turn to the left. Keep on the calling, keep on the path, getting you to the promised land until you get to the end where I've called you to. Because if you do, right, fear. If you do, unsuccess. If you do stray and turn and go, it's not going to work out for you. And what did Peter do? He got to a place where he looked. Maybe he didn't walk left or walk right, but he looked. He thought about it. He saw everything around him. And so he stood still. And what did he start doing? He started sinking. See, we think, I think, I can stand still in comfort, in familiarity, in a certainty of what I know that I can do, and maybe even that I do well, or maybe that I'm very mediocre at, but it feels good. I'm used to it. Y'all are allowing it, and y'all think it's good, so let's just stay here. No, we're not just standing there doing it. We're really sinking. See, the only way that there's movement and the fulfillment of promises is for us to take a step forward towards God's future. To take a step forward of what he knows and what he sees and that we're going after, whether we can see it or not. Faith is not by what we see. Faith is what we don't see and the assurance of things that we hope for. Joshua was certainly hoping and praying and seeking what God had for him. And then the other thing is, see, Joshua, even though he was there and he was fulfilling the promises that God had for him and he was leading tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people across the Jordan River into the promised land, is that when he got there, he didn't stop. See, we have to be careful that we don't give up, because when we give up, we can't fulfill the promises of God. We can't claim those for ourselves. God said, wherever you set your foot, he didn't say it was going to be easy. He said, wherever you go, you're going to inherit what I've already given to you and the people and what I told Moses about and what Moses told you about. See, it sounds like that we just get to walk right in and take it. That's not what happened. There were, in the promised land, seems like it, that's so easy. Oh, there's promises. It flows with milk and honey, and it's great. And there's going to be the fastest Wi-Fi possible. All of our cars are going to run on oxygen, and we're going to have just the abundance of food. We're going to be able to eat all we want to. We're never going to have to work out, and we're all going to look like, well, for the guys, Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling or any of those guys, right? Some of y'all are chuckling, and the women are going, God, where is that place? Not going to happen. 31 kings and kingdoms lived already in the promised land. And do you think they were going to let Joshua and the people of Israel just walk in and take it and just give it to them? No. There was a hard road ahead of them. It was promised, but it wasn't just given. It wasn't just easy. It wasn't anything that was just going to happen. They had to march through it. They had to walk into it. So not stopping before or giving up too soon. Chapter 1, verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. It didn't say they will bow before you. It says they will not be able to stand before you. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. See, not easy, not simple, promised. Promised inheritance. And then here's the other obstacle. This is Matt Wolfington's problem. I found this really quickly in this passage of scripture for me, is I would want to take over and do it my way. Amen? Okay, Lord, you want me to do this, and you want me to do it this way, and here's your plan and all this. Well, I know you know what you're doing, God, and that is good and well and fine, but my way looks a lot better, a lot more guaranteed, and maybe a little easier, so let's do it my way. We cannot live in the promise if we take over. We can't live in the promise if we take over. We can't live in the promise if we take over. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all of the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Let me tell you about that word meditate. Meditate sounds like that we're going to somehow crisscross applesauce, which most of us would go straight to heaven if we tried to do that right now, right? You don't want to see me doing that. It is not pretty. And I've never been able to crisscross applesauce. And if y'all don't know what that is, everybody know what that is? Or do I need to get Gage up here to show you? You're praying. Everybody knows, right? Yeah. I mean, we're not going to sit down and just sit there and hold our hands out and meditate. That's not what that means. That word meditate, it really means to utter. It really means to mumble. It really means to a groan from our innermost being, the words of God, over and over and over, to recite them to ourselves, to learn them and to proclaim them constantly. If you've ever seen where this comes from, where not where this comes from, but where it was taken from is here. How many of you have ever seen the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem? You ever seen that on TV or in a video or someplace where they're looking towards the wall and they're rocking back and forth, and you can hear a lot of sounds, but you don't know what they're saying? That's where that came from. Over and over, learning it and reciting it, not only just for yourself, but for others around you. Because here's what I know: if you want to ask me what the I'm not going to give you the number of promises because we're doing that next week. But if you were to ask me, what's the particular promise in First Chronicles in Scripture that God gave to so and so? I'm probably going to have to go look it up. But this is my old life. Nobody judge me. If you want me to tell you how to break down a Glock and take out the springs and the magazines and how to fix the trigger and how to clean the cartridge and how to make the slide work better and how to put it all back together and how to do all those kinds of things, we can sit down and I can draw you a map and I can show you how to do it. You want to know why? Because I've done it over and over and over and over. Since I was 20 years old, I've been disassembling and reassembling guns and rifles and doing all those kinds of things. I know how to do that. See, it's repetition. And it's not repetition just for the sake of repetition. It's repetition so that it can save our lives and save the lives of others. Not the gun, Scripture. God's promises. That's what's going to save us eternally, forever and ever, going into the promise.
Batteries back here? Oh man, they're good. We'll keep you around another week. Only. That's it.
Hey, by the way, before I leave, we need to pray over Levi again. That's really a daily thing in my life, but we're going to do it corporately right here. So it's about the muttering is not about mumbling for the sake of mumbling. It's about this idea of putting Scripture in our head and our heart, putting Scripture into our lives, putting the promises that God has for us day and night, night and day. We sing this song, and it's true. And here's what I've learned. This really came to heart for me the last couple of weeks and really the last couple of days is I have, in my own life, I have neglected two of those, right? I have neglected two of those. The first one of those is my pride has gotten in the way of what God has called me to do, and I think that I could do it better. And so I've been not not literally saying to God, that's dumb and I'm going to do it differently. No, it's just not really meditating and asking God what I need to be doing. It's just me doing what I've always done. And while that can be successful, it's not God's success. It's my success, and not near as fruitful as what God has in store for me. But the other one is that meditating day and night, that constant Bible study, that constant seeking and worshiping, that constant diving in deeper into Scripture. I've neglected that, and I promise you, by what's happening in my life and some of the things that are going on, I know where it's coming from. It's that I am not where I need to be in the journey. I have turned right, and I have turned left, and then I've turned right, and I've turned left again, and I've turned right, and I've turned left again. Scripture is where we find the promises, and how in the world can we know the promises if we don't meditate on the Scriptures? How can your life change if you don't know what the change is? It's impossible. And so I'm just going to name a few of these. These are not all of them, but if you're wondering, like, well, what are these promises we're talking about? Well, some of them are really broad for all of us, and there are going to be some as you dive into Scripture and as you talk to God and as you meditate that they're going to come true just for you in particular places. Adoption by God, forgiveness of sin, answer to prayer, deliverance from temptations, sustaining grace at difficult times, provision for all of our needs, the rewards, the blessing, the eternal rewards, the worldly rewards for obedience to God. Again, God promises all of these things, but just like obedience, like, if you'll do this, I will do this, God says. Well, if I don't do that, I can't blame God for not being blessed. If I don't follow, how can I blame God for getting lost? If I don't follow, how can I blame God for not getting to the promised land? If I'm looking back, if I'm arguing, if I'm doing all those things, if I'm trying to take over, if I'm stopping. I mean, I can't blame God. But isn't that what we do? Is we wonder and we question and we doubt and we see the promised land and we wonder why we haven't made it, but yet it's because we look and then we turn around. It's because we get right to the edge of the Jordan, we get right to the edge of whatever God has in store for us, and boy, 40 years in the desert, they really got used to, they really got an understanding, they really had a way to make it day by day. And sometimes we like just making it in the wilderness versus conquering the 31 kingdoms in the promised land. Anybody with me? But yet, in the promised land is where it's at. In the promised land is where all the things happen. The promised land is how we got here today. Otherwise, we might still be wandering in the desert. We still might be trying to figure out who we are in Christ. And so this week, here's what I just want you to ask yourself. There's a word that really talks about these conversations. And this word in the Jewish culture and in the Hebrew language really means discussions by the wind of the Spirit. Okay, when the Spirit moves and has discussions with us, I'm curious which side of the Jordan you're on. Are you still in the wilderness? This is what we're going to talk about in our next time together. Are you still in the wilderness, wandering around, and are your discussions about when will he ever get to the promised land? Are you still in Egypt, even before the wilderness, still in slavery to whatever's going on in your life, wondering when we'll ever be free? Or are you in the promised land, receiving the promises of God little by little, moment by moment, day by day, and conquering as you go, and wherever you set your foot? You're receiving those gifts. You're receiving those blessings. You're receiving the fruits of the labors of Christ in your life. That's what I want you to ask you. Lord, where am I? Because sometimes we don't even know where we're at. Amen. We don't know if we're lost. We don't know if we're receiving the promises. We don't know if we're just walking around in circles. We just don't know. But yet, God does. And no matter where you're at, all God has to do is point us. and say, let's go. And even when you wander right and left, all you have to do is say, God, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm feeling attacked. I'm feeling like nothing's going right. I think I'm where I'm supposed to be, but as I look around, I'm like, this can't be right. This can't be the promised land. And he might say, no, you're in the right place. It's just tough right now. Or he might say, why don't you take a step to the right and then go straight? Why don't you go this way? It's different for all of us. But the truth is, the promises are there. Let's start living by them. Lord, as we consider how Joshua lived his life, Lord, it's a story of natural history, Father, and it's a story of supernatural history. That's the life I want to live. I feel like there are 31 kingdoms coming up against me right now. Not one at a time either. Father, I need your direction. Father, I feel like there's a giant river in front of me that I don't know how I'm going to lead people across, and yet you have a way. Father, I feel like we have spies in the land, and they're bringing back different reports. Some are it flows with milk and honey, and some are it's filled with giants that we're never going to be able to conquer. Lord, I need your direction. I need to know what lies ahead. Lord, and I know you want to show it to each and every one of us. Whether we're 13 or 14 or 15 years old, whether we're young adults, or whether we're getting advanced in our years, or there's still a calling for every one of us. There's still a direction. There's still a promise. Multiple promises. Lord, show them to us so we can live by them. Lord, give us the desire to want to know the promises in your holy word. Lord, as we grow to know you, and Lord, as you grow in us. In Jesus' name, that's my prayer. That's my prayer. Lord, I pray that it comes true for all of us. In Jesus' holy and precious and powerful name, I pray today. If you agree with that, if you want that to be in your life, you need to do your part in order for God to do his, and stand in agreement with me and say, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.